2021 NFL draft coverage continues here on WEOL as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich, a familiar voice here on the station. You might remember him from our From the Sideline segment during Browns football season, but it is draft season now. The 86th NFL draft coming to Cleveland this Thursday. That's tomorrow. And again, Fox 8's own John Telich joins us here this morning. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rocco. It's hard to believe this bad boy's real close to taking place here in town.
Yeah, unbelievable, unbelievable. And I want to start right there. I mean, what do you think this means for Northeast Ohio, obviously with a very, very rich football culture? You know, what does this mean to the area? I think the national narrative on Cleveland as a whole is really starting to continue to move in that positive direction, and I feel like this draft really only helps that.
Yeah, I think it really does. In fact, I think this draft and I think what the city has gone through, the Browns went through vis-a-vis the COVID situation, is kind of like a metaphor for our city and our region. I mean, this team was constructed and started to take shape and learned to get its legs up while the pandemic was actually in its early stages. And they were adept at tackling all the issues of Zoom meetings and practicing not near your teammates and constructing a team with a rookie coach, and they flourished. We all know what happened. They won a playoff game. There's so much promise that we come now to this big event being held in our town, and what is normally the Super Bowl for Browns fans is not necessarily the case, and that's a great thing. It's a fantastic thing, Rocco, with them only having, you know, 9 picks, and of course their first one not until the 26th pick overall. And so long-term thinking about what this means for the city, I think it's fantastic. Some of the numbers I got, they believe from day one through day three, on the order of about 55 million people will be peering into the broadcast to see what is going on in Cleveland, who's getting picked at what spots, and our city is going to be showed off in a tremendous fashion. What they did down there with that massive stage on the lakefront, by the stadium, by the Rock Hall, by the Science Center, it is really cool. Now, part of me, Rocco, says, darn it, it's too bad that you cannot have the potential of like what you had in Nashville.
Yep.
And what you had in Philadelphia with, you know, upwards of 300 to maybe 400,000 people taking part over the course of 3 days. They're projecting figures of 160,000 or so over the 3 days. And so I look at Cleveland being the type of city that we are, and great leaders like David Gilbert at the Sports Commission and the NFL part and parcel working on this thing together. This is a way for the nation to kind of celebrate that we're starting to climb out of the pandemic. No, we're not going to have the massive throngs, but Cleveland is the place that is showing the rest of the country you can put on a great event, not necessarily the phenomenal event as far as attendance is concerned, but still a great event nonetheless, and celebrate the fact that the NFL was there throughout the pandemic, and it's going to be there for years to come, and Cleveland is the centerpiece of that. I think that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of looking over some of the events and different things that will be happening downtown over the course of the entire weekend. It should be an awesome time. I got a chance to attend All-Star Weekend for Major League Baseball when it was here a couple summers ago, and that was a great display by downtown as a whole. So I expect the same for the NFL draft without question. John, we can get right into the draft talk a little bit here. What do you think the biggest need is for the Browns? Obviously, that's the biggest conversation point. It is the 26th pick, as you mentioned. It's not that pristine top 5, top 10 pick that fans have become accustomed to kind of breaking down and reviewing. But biggest need for the Browns, where do you think they need to go with that 26th pick? And do you think they need to maybe move up or down from that spot?
Well, there's been a lot of mock drafts that think they may be in the market for moving up a few to get an impact linebacker. I know the kid from Notre Dame is a special talent that can really move off of the football and is good in space. He's got great numbers in terms of his 40 speed, and you're talking about Owusu Koromoa, who's just really a fun player to watch. Maybe there is an opportunity for them to move up 5 to 7 spots and see if they could take him in the first round. Other than that, you know, I still see the needs. Maybe a young linebacker or cornerback. He can never have enough cornerbacks. And so I would say there's an opportunity for them to take, maybe just sit at 26 and take a cornerback, or they may move back even a few spots in order to be able to take someone. Well, I think what Andrew Berry said in his presser last week, they've got like 168 players on their board, 114 of them are draftable, with 54 as priority, you know, free agents that they will set. So they'll be very busy, 9 picks. They may not use all of them, but I could see, you know, linebacker, cornerback as a need. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of prospects as you look at some of these mock drafts. There's noted instances where there could be some deals made. But I like what Andrew said about, you know, being thinking long-term, not necessarily getting all crazy over some super immediate need. And I think you could maybe point to last season, or last April, when they took Harrison Bryant, when they had just, you know, they had signed, they did Hooper, sign him to a free agent contract, and yet they still saw the need, like the talent that this Harrison Bryant had, and they drafted him in a middle round.
Well, kind of right along those same lines, and maybe this is just people getting bored as the draft continues to approach on social media, but I see some chatter about maybe taking a receiver early, not necessarily with that first-round pick, but still early in the draft. That would certainly be a long-term move, because when you look at the depth chart at receiver, it's pretty stacked right now, but that may not be the case for years to come. So what are your thoughts on maybe taking a receiver early in the draft?
Well, they did take one a year ago later in the draft, and that was Donovan Peoples-Jones, and I think he's going to work out to be a pretty good player as they move along. You know, in the second round, they got the 59th pick, and then in the third round, they have a couple. So I would see a potential for them either from 59 down to 91, where there's 3 picks, where they may have a young receiver that they would take maybe around there, maybe at 110 as well in the fourth round on the third day of the draft on Saturday. So, yes, I think this would dovetail nicely into what Andrew Berry has spoken of about the long-term impact, less of a filling of a need, more of a long-term thing. And when you're speaking of long-term, you know that you've got 2 marquee receivers that are making a lot of money, and you've got to think also about the Baker extension coming up, the Denzel extension. What do you do with Nick Chubb? What's the deal with Wyatt Teller? You know, there's a lot of long-term thinking that has to go into how they behave on draft nights. So, yeah, I would think they would look in that area, and again, if they see so, I think one of the teams in that first round might necessarily – may not necessarily have the specific need for tight end game-changing talent, but they're going to take Kyle Pitts from Florida when they might have had another need. So that's how you have to think in this draft. Get someone that you think can have that impact for you and be a long-term solution, and target that person and go after them.
Fox 8's John Telich is our guest here talking about the upcoming NFL draft. JT, is there a move that the Browns could make that would really just upset fans? Is there a glaring move that Andrew Berry could make that would just have fans going, what in the heck are you doing?
Well, I would think if they made any kind of a deal where they dealt away a starter, you know, in order to get picks, that could tick people off. But by and large, you know, each and every year you just have to think long-term. And that's what they're going to do. If they go out and get, you know, another left tackle, you know, let's plug in some young left tackle, you're going to sit back and say, what are you doing? You know, but I don't see them, from what we've seen, how — I know one of your other questions you want to ask about how will they be, you know, kind of synced up together. They're going to be just the way they were last season, joined at the hip. You know, what Stefanski likes, what Joe Woods likes, what the offensive coordinator likes, all of those needs for the long-term viability of this team, they'll try to meet those with what they do in the draft. So one specific deal, yeah, if they go out and, you know, try to trade up, you know, into the top 10 and draft another quarterback, yeah, that would be insanity. But I think they're pretty set at that position right now.
And you hit the nail on the head, John. My last question for you kind of surrounds that, you know, unity and that synchronization between the front office and the coaching staff. Like you said, I think it's pretty clear that they're still aligned right now as they were last year heading into this thing. Do you get a sense that that's continuing to get stronger, that kind of bond and that unity and synchronization between the coaching staff and the front office? Is that still moving in the right direction, or are you maybe sensing that things might need to change?
No, I think what they've put in place with Barry and Stefanski and then DePodesta and all the other people that align within the organization, they have that collaborative feel to them, and they continue to work along those ways. What's going to be interesting this year in this draft is in that first round, which is just will take us back a year or even 2 years when Andrew Barry was getting his feet wet, if you will. There, I think there's like five or six instances in the top 10 to 12 teams that are picking in the draft where you have young rookie general managers, and you wonder, you know, how aligned will they be with the other decision makers in their franchise and what's going to happen with them as they move forward, just the same way you thought that a year or so ago when Andrew Barry was really getting into this thing. And I think he had a pretty good draft a year ago. Obviously, they had great success on the football field, which is the primary goal. So that is that's something that I think we can look at, the team being in sync and kind of letting the game come to them, not showing antsiness or anxiousness, if you will. And I think also what we may not see as much on Thursday night is, you know, first round moves, because we did see some of that already. And look at the Niners. They had to give up two number ones to move nine spots in that first round. Are we going to see anything of that nature? What's going to happen with Justin Fields? That type of stuff. That's what I'm really curious to see, vis-a-vis how the Browns kind of let that draft come to them. Kind of feel it, you know, being a batter in the batter's box, just being loose and not being anxious and not striding forward and swinging at pitches in the dirt. Just let the pitches come to you and take a good swing at them.
John, I lied to you. I'm going to sneak one more question here only because you mentioned him and I've seen so much debate about him on social media. Where do you think Justin Fields ends up?
Wow, that is a great question. He certainly is a... where he ends up is, I think he should go to San Francisco at number three.
Okay.
But I could see a scenario where he does not get picked until like the 10th pick, 8th to 10th pick. And so I like everything about him, and I've heard all the chatter about how pro-ready everybody believes Mac Jones to be. Mm-hmm. As he was at Alabama, and how promising Trey Lance appears to be. It seems like one and two are kind of locked in. And so where Justin Fields, I think the narrative that he, you know, wasn't a hard worker, all that stuff that popped up and kind of got shot down immediately wasn't fair to him, because all I've heard is he's been great. And all I've seen is certainly there's areas to work on, but I just think he's going to be a very good pro quarterback. And so does that align with what Kyle Shanahan wants? Is this a big smoke screen and it's not going to be Trey Lance or Mac Jones at number three and it is Justin Fields? Or does Atlanta go with Justin Fields, hometown kid kind of, Georgia boy? A lot of intriguing stuff, but that's going to be the subplot. If you're a football fan in Northeast Ohio and you know you can kind of put your feet up on the couch and relax and watch this draft and know that the Browns are going to be coming with their pick at 26, maybe move up, maybe move back. You know that's going to happen later on in the evening. The best drama or the best intrigue is going to be to see where Justin Fields goes.
There you go. Yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on until the Browns finally do make their selection. Again, NFL draft happening tomorrow night. Should be a lot of fun. John Telich from Fox 8 was our guest here today to break it down, that draft. You can listen to a replay of this interview up on WEOL.com. JT, thank you so much for joining me here today. I missed talking to you, man. It was a lot of fun to catch up, and hopefully we'll be able to get some more Browns chatter in here soon.
Yeah, I look forward to that, and it's just going to be fun to see our city get shown to the rest of the world, and Cleveland always knows how to put up and to show out. So we'll look forward to these next 3 days and just enjoy the show as it comes.
There you go. Thanks, JT. I appreciate the time, man. Have a good one.
You too, Rocco. Take care, everybody.